Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. It's the last chapter in the book of Genesis. And it's a story that we all know, or most of us. If you don't, I'm going to tell you the story. There's a man by the name of Joseph, and he's the leader of all of Egypt. But he didn't start out that way. Joseph was a little boy, second to the youngest. His dad kind of favored him, made him a coat of many colors, sent the other boys out to work. They were jealous of him. Jealousy will kill any relationship you have. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, it will kill. Jealousy, envy, and strife, hatred, high-mindedness are all things of Satan and of the flesh in order to do you harm. They got jealous, so they decided to, some of them wanted to kill him. The older brother stepped in. They decided to trade him to some gypsies that were coming through, and they traded him, and they sold him in Egypt, and he became a worker at Potiphar's house. He did a really good job there, and he was honored, and he was given more responsibility and more responsibility. But yet, the wife who chased after him lied about him and his intentions, and he got sent to prison. In prison, he met some people, and one was a baker and so forth. They worked with Pharaoh. And Joseph dreamed, and some people had dreams, and he would interpret the dreams. My dreams are usually pizza-induced. But the Pharaoh had a dream. And he said, I need someone to interpret it. And he called all the people that he thought could, and they couldn't. And they said, there's this Joseph, and he's in prison. Maybe he can. And he came, and he did. He said, you're going to have 7 years of drought, and then you're going to, or of prosperity, then you're going to have 7 years of drought. And he said, what needs to be done is you need to take these 7 good years and make sure you've laid up for the 7 bad years. He said, okay, I'm going to put you working on this. I don't know how long that took, but it took a while, and Joseph ended up becoming his right-hand man. He really wasn't the second in charge, because whatever Joseph said, the Pharaoh said, it'll be done that way. So Joseph was in charge of all of Egypt. It wasn't his plan to go to Egypt. It wasn't in his dreams to go to Egypt. It wasn't something that he wanted to do, was to go to Egypt. But here it says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, But as for you, he's saying to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about as it is this day, to save my people alive, many people alive. Joseph was not only able to save his family, but all of Egypt. Egypt would have died too. So hundreds and thousands of people were alive because of what God did with Joseph. You ever had your plans, your day planned, your appointments planned, your goals planned, but because of some circumstance, it really messed up your plan? You couldn't do what you wanted to do. You couldn't do what you had planned to do. You couldn't do what you intended to do. And your plan was interrupted. That's where our faith has to come in. I had a plan. High school, I was going to go to high school, and I was going to graduate, and I was not going to go to college. Matter of fact, I missed every day you could miss without failing my senior year. I knew how many days you're allowed to miss, and I took every one of them. Going to go to work in a factory, make money like my brother did, buy a house, get married, have children, and retire. That was my plan. But God had another plan. I got drafted. That sure messed up my plan. So I joined the Navy. And in the Navy, I got orders to a place. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. And I got ordered to a place called Patuxent River, Maryland. I was such a good student in school, I didn't know where Maryland was. I had to look it up on the map. I didn't know if I was going west, north, or south. Well, I knew it wasn't going south because it was Cuba below Florida, but I didn't know where I was going. And then I found it on the map, this little place tucked away under Washington. And if you're being under Washington, it isn't a good place to be, Washington, D.C. But God had a plan because I had been raised in the Methodist Church and I was going to the Methodist Church. And I went past the Methodist church, and the pastor was out there smoking a pipe, and I thought, boy, my dad wouldn't go for that. So I decided to go on base to church. So I went on base to church, and it was Nixon was president, and the minister stood up at the end and said, remember that? He went just like this. Had on a big robe, looked real important. Said, God has invested the power within me to forgive you of your sins. And I said, no, he didn't. Not you. God will forgive sins, but you can't. And I thought, I can't go there. So I had a friend that I became close with in the Navy, and he said, why don't you come with me to church? And it's a little old Baptist, Southern Baptist church. So I went with him, and I liked the preacher, and the preacher was teaching on soul winning. So I took all the classes on how to lead, how to be a witness to someone, how to share your faith with someone. So I started doing that, and I started giving away Bibles when I was in the Navy. So I go down to the chaplain's office. The chaplain said, you're making me look real good. He said, you know, have you passed out this many Bibles? And I said, well, I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. And I led this young man to the Lord, him and his wife, and he had been raised in a Lutheran church, and I don't know if you know much about Southern Baptist Church, but you're baptized into the church. When you get baptized, that's how you become a member. So he wanted to be baptized, and the church told him that he had to write a letter to the Lutheran church and tell them that he was no longer a Lutheran, take his name off the roll. His dad had cancer, and he said, I don't want to hurt my dad by doing that, but I do want to be baptized. So the board said he couldn't be baptized unless he wrote the letter. The pastor baptized him, and the pastor got fired in a church for baptizing somebody. I didn't know this for several years later. All I know is the pastor left, and I liked the pastor, so I went with him. God took me from a little town called Melrose over here with 50 houses, put me in Maryland beside a minister that was going to teach me what building church is all about, winning souls to Jesus Christ. It sure did mess up my plan. But just as Joseph, God had another plan. We live in a world where your plans are going to get messed up. Terry reminded me after the first service, she said, you got another one that you missed. And I said, what's that? She said, remember when we went to Venice? For our 25th wedding anniversary, we went to Venice for 10 days. And I had been flying all over the country back then. I had an air travel card and would sometimes fly 5 or 6 days a week. Terry and I get there, and it's raining in Paris, and our flight didn't get in till late. So we missed our flight going on. So we waited, and I'd missed lots of flights in my day. So Terry said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't care. We're in Paris. You know, let's not get upset that we missed the plane. Let's just understand that we're in Paris." And we did. And we stayed at the airport because we didn't have that long of a layover before we went to Venice on the next plane. And we ate a good dinner, and we got on the plane, and we get to Venice. They've lost our luggage. They lost not only our luggage, they lost several people's luggage on that flight. People are yelling and screaming and upset, and Terry said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to take our backpacks and we're going to go to the hotel. They'll bring it to us." How'd I know? Because every time I flew into Fort Wayne, Indiana, they had to bring my luggage to me. I didn't have to carry it. I didn't have to worry about it, but I knew by 9 o'clock in the morning to be sitting at my door. So Terry and I get to Venice, we have to walk downstairs on a bus, downstairs, get on a boat, walk upstairs, and then go over 4 or 5 canals and walk up 3 flights of steps to our apartment. We go in and we lay down, and after about 4 hours we wake up and we get up and we look outside, and right there sits all, I think, 5 bags that we had. And I thought, man, people were upset. We didn't have to carry them. Why in the world are you upset when they lose your luggage? They gave us clean t-shirts and toothbrush and a razor. What more do you want? We backpacked across Europe for 30 days, and we both took a backpack. We were there 3 days. We sent her backpack home with my clothes in it. You can make it. You don't have to be upset when your plans get changed. That's what I'm saying. We do have plans and goals and appointments and good things that we want to do. Paul had that too. Paul said, "I'm going to go to Rome, I'm going to raise some funds, I'm going to go to Spain." But he ended up in Rome, and he ended up in chains, and he ended up in prison. And we said, why in the world? Oh, God upset his plans. Paul understood that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. He understood that, and he wrote most of the New Testament. God had a different plan for him. And sometimes God has a different plan for you. A couple years ago, we knew that I was getting old. Some of you noticed it. Some of you are too old to notice. It just went right on past you that I'd been aging too. So we decided we needed to bring somebody in, and that I needed to start, you know. I told my sister yesterday, I said, "Carol, you know why I know I got to retire?" I said, "I understand my kids, but my grandkids, we don't talk the same language." And I said, "And Carol, your grandkids don't talk the language that I'm understanding either, because this was her grandson that was getting married, and I'm sorry, but it's a different world, which means I don't understand your kids either. We need someone that does." So we were all on one page. We all had this plan, and we saw this guy, and everybody liked him before he got here. We thought it was all set, wasn't it? But it wasn't all set, because God had another plan. And it wasn't our plan, but we accept that. We accept it, and we move on, and we understand now. Marty's been here for a year, and Josh has been here for a year now. We have, I don't know if you know, but we have the best staff that we've ever had. We're able to communicate. Do you agree on everything? I doubt it. Marty just won't tell me when he disagrees, but I doubt it. The thing of it is, we'll debate. But the church, we want what's best for this church. We want what's best for you. We want what's best for the people. And one of the things that we're dealing with right now across this world, not just in the United States, not just in Ohio, not just in Toledo, not just at Heritage Church, what do we do about COVID? My dad said, work like it's all up to you and pray like it's all up to God. We had three people in the congregation in the last, since I've been home, that had COVID. One had their shots and they got COVID. So I was around them. So I wore a mask today because I don't want you to be uncomfortable or to get it. We are trying to make the best decisions that we can make as we go through this. They're not my decisions. They're not Pastor Marty's decisions. The decisions are made on what is best for our congregation, what is best for this church. And we have been totally interrupted. The world has been interrupted. The state has been interrupted. What we need to understand is God has prepared a way for us to stay united about winning people to Jesus Christ and doing the mission that He called us to do. And we have done that whether we have been meeting here every Sunday or we've been meeting online. We have done that whether we wore masks or not. We have done that when the pews were lined up, were roped off and the pews were not roped off. We have tried to stay united and keep the mission of the church and the building of the church and the winning of the souls on front line. That's hard to do. But God can do it. God can do it if we do all that we can do and pray as hard as we can pray. God will keep us on the same page. If we have faith, if we love the people, and we all understand, we must be accommodating to everyone. You may have no fear whatsoever what's going on. God bless you. I don't have much fear. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I've done everything I know to do to stay safe and to keep the people safe. But we have some people that have more fear. It's my job as a pastor to do the best I can to take the fear away from them so that they can come in full fellowship. So we're working. We're doing it the best that we know how. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, obey those that have rule over you and submit yourselves. And you say, oh my, does that mean the senator or the president? No. He's talking about, for they watch for your souls. I haven't known a president for a long time watch for my soul, but I have known pastors that do and Sunday school teachers that do, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You're going to have unproductive days, days when you think that I've got to get from point A to point B, and I've got to be there by 4 o'clock, and you're going to have a flat tire. What you don't know, God may be up to something else. You may have had a flat tire because there was an accident He didn't want you to be in. And the accident happened because He didn't want the money delivered to the other boy that was been raised in church that He was going to use to buy drugs over here. God's up to God knows everything that's going on. So why do we as Christians become so upset when bad things happen, when our life is disrupted? I had a guy tell me last Monday night at golf, he said, best thing happened to me was I got fired. I said, what? That don't sound normal. But he went on and he built a great business. Had he not got fired, that wouldn't have happened. I worked for a fellow when I was in the Navy collecting bills. He owned three garbage companies. He owned the taxi company, and he owned several cleaning services. And I said, how did you get into this? He said, raising hogs. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, I was a Marine stationed in Washington, D.C. And these girls had come up from Southern Maryland, and he said, I started dating one of them, fell in love, and married her. He said, now, you've been down here, but you're at the Navy base, but he said, there wasn't nothing down here before the Navy base. I mean, so he said, if I was going to make a living, I had to do something, so I raised hogs. And he said, we got by. Then they started building the Navy base. And he said, I asked him if I could have the garbage for my hogs. So I started hauling the garbage for my hogs. He said, then the Congress passed this bill that they had to pay me for hauling that garbage. He said, you know, immediately that year I made more money hauling the garbage from those from the galleys than I made with my hogs. He said, then the town started building and they needed garbage hauled. He said, so I ended up buying a garbage truck. He said, then other people would call me as they started building houses, so I bought another garbage truck. He said, then I bought another garbage truck because there wasn't anybody else in town to call. He said, then people started calling and they'd get upset at me because they said I was hiring help and they weren't doing things the way I would do it. And he said, it's hard to hire help. And he said, we just kept on hiring. And he said, so I thought, somebody else is going to come in down here and maybe hurt my business. So he said, I went and bought three new trucks and started a business on the other side of town. He said, the best competition you can have is that which you own. He said, now they get mad at me and hang up and they call the other company and I make $5 more a month. What I'm saying is bloom where you're at, where you're planted. God knows what you're going through. He knows exactly where you're at. And many times, most of the time, he has put you there. He has put you there so that you can do something for him. And you can't do that if you're discouraged. What if Joseph was, I'm in prison, and I'm discouraged, and I don't belong here, and I'm going to fight, and I don't belong here. No, he would have never been recognized. We need to stop complaining and have faith and understand God's got this. God has the control. And he knows what you're going through in your life. Yeah, it may be hard, may be difficult. But I don't think Joseph's life wasn't hard and difficult. And I believe that he had to go through those things so that God could use him in the position he's going to use him in. That's called school. It's called training. Someone asked me, Pastor Fry, how do you know that God is really with you? And I said, you know what? He's blessed my mistakes. I don't do everything right. I don't make every decision right, and neither do you. But God has a way of getting me out of those that I don't have to work too hard at. God has a way of making a straight road out of a crooked path that I've cut. And he'll do the same with you if you have faith and you don't get discouraged. You're going to have unproductive days. And those days that seem to be unproductive, where God stops you and everything you had planned doesn't get done, that may be the day when God is turning your life around or turning someone else's around for you. Can we trust him? I can tell you this, God's got this. So let's stay united, let's stay on track, let's keep our eyes focused on what the church is supposed to be doing. Let's remember that people have fear, let's do our best to help them not to have fear. That's what I'm doing, the best I can. This isn't for you, or this isn't for me, this isn't for Pastor Marty. This is for you as a church. They're tough decisions sometimes. But God wants us united and trusting him through all of it. Not blaming, pointing fingers at one another, yelling at one another. That is the craziest, childishest thing I've ever seen. Let's stand. You're going to have non-productive days and weeks and months and sometimes even years. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There's high above us as the heavens are above the earth, the Bible says. I don't understand this COVID, but I've read when black diphtheria went through, people didn't understand that. And when polio was taking everybody from the president right on down the line, they didn't understand that either. But the church thrived because the church had faith. And the church went forward. And I have faith in all of you. I hope you have faith in me. We're going to do the best that we can to take away the fears that anyone has. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for leading the church and showing us your hand. I thank you for answering the prayers that we've asked for in the last week. Lord, I pray that you keep this congregation safe. Lord, I pray that you give us strength. I pray that you watch over us when we drive. You watch over us when we sleep. And Lord, I pray that you align our plans with your plan. And that's accepting when you say no. Or you say, move over. So God, I pray this day that we are not set like stone, but we're a fluid that you can move us here or there as we need to move and venture towards your will. And for that, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us and have a blessed day.